And a very pleasant good afternoon to you on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday, the 29th day of July. We're clicking them off. We got two more drive times in this month, Thursday and Friday. August the 1st starts on Saturday. And we have new sign-on and sign-off times. We'll sign on at 6:45 on Saturday and sign off at 8:15. Now, that knocks off 15 minutes in the morning, but 30 minutes in the evening. So a 45-minute shortened day where we stayed. We only lost 15 minutes between June and July. We start a little bit further down. So, yeah, time moves on. And we want to say thanks to some people here, and then we'll give you an update on Pastor if you have not heard this afternoon. WGCR and FM 94.9. This is a double sponsorship. The AM, the FM, the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which is the WGCR.net, the preaching, music, and the video channel, is being sponsored by Dean Jackson, who is praising the Lord for saving his soul 26 years ago today. Happy spiritual birthday. Amen. He said he doesn't have much down here, but he's looking forward to what's waiting for him. We sure appreciate Mr. Dean Jackson for sponsoring this day today on the AM and the network. Happy birthday. Wishes going out to Mary Lou Martin. Happy, happy birthday. Mr. James Dodson has a birthday today. Happy birthday to you, and happy anniversary to Jacob and Holly Youngblood. And we pray that you all have had a wonderful day. Well, let's take a look here. I'm going to get my phone up here. And the first update that we got was a little back about 1:45, 1 o'clock, 1:30 this afternoon, where Pastor Barton was out of surgery. And the doctor said everything went according to plan, and then he was to be in recovery from that point for 1 to 1.5 hours. Then the latest one that I got was that the nurse called to Mrs. Barton, and she got to talk to him. And as is expected, and figured this would be the case. As you know, when you have major surgery, well, you have pain, so they have to deal with pain. So we'll be praying for the pain management. Usually the onset of 3 days is the most critical time. And of course, he's hoarse, and that's because of what they do when they keep you on machines and things and they're operating. She is going to give us another update as soon as she hears anything. So thank you for praying, and for the texts and emails that came in from Brother Brian this morning talking about that. I know that he appreciates that, and we'll get them later on. So we are thrilled that the surgery went as expected, and we are praying that he will be able to heal, and when he completely heals, that this will be really life-changing for him, that it will take all that he was going through away, and he will be able to continue to minister in the place that he's been at. I think I'm right when I say 34 years, maybe 36. My brain is giving me a couple of different things here, so oh goodness, I love it when my brain contradicts itself. So anyhow, that's we're praising the Lord, and we're going to keep praying and asking the Lord to help and to encourage the family and for a wonderful recovery, quick healing from all of that. Well, let's see what we can do about getting you home here this afternoon and take a look. I know we've got a lot of storms in the area. And so we are excited about the fact that I got sidetracked because I got text came in saying amen, and we're excited to, that we got to hear that kind of news. All right, on to traffic, and let's see. I was hoping when I refreshed it, it would have got a little better, but it's not. The new 26 will start coming out of Weaverville, headed towards Asheville. It's slow going all the way through Woodfin, and it doesn't clear up till you get to the Montford area. But now coming off of 240 on the 26 headed towards Weaverville, it's in the Montford area that there's a pretty decent slowdown. 240, yeah, we've got issues on 240. And it's going to start at the Charlotte Street there overpass, and headed, and this is the westbound lane, and it stays that way all the way to the new 26, and that clears up. But then we're coming past that intersection, it starts again, and it gets heavier at the junction there of alternate 74 and 240. That split there is pretty heavy right now, so be careful there. And then I-26 here, that's, well, malfunction junction looks great. In fact, we're okay till we get to Long Shoals Road. Now, Long Shoals Road, if you're headed towards Hendersonville, once you pass that exit, it slows down pretty good, but it's moving. It shows it moving. So that's what the map's showing me. And then it clears up, and everything's good all the way down into the 25-26 split, and 25 is looking good to the state line. So that's okay. And then 64... we'll carry that out to Brevard, and it looks pretty good. And to, yeah, it's not too bad. A few little pockets of small slowdowns, but nothing serious. And the gorge is cleared up from what it was at noon at swap shop time. Very, very light traffic going down the mountain. A little bit of a slowdown right at the Coles Creek exit there coming up the mountain. So that looks pretty good. So there is that. Now, what we do have is we have got a lot of rain, and it's like it's been. You know, we had rain. Then we had several days of no rain. And yesterday, well, everybody was having rain. I thought, great. And then last night, about 11 o'clock, I heard this kaboom, and next thing I know, there's lightning dancing everywhere, and for over an hour, it just rained and rained and rained, and we picked up in that crazy thing 3.05 inches of rain as it just downpoured. So, yeah, and right now, I'm looking, and again, this is going to be close to me, so, but it's in the Green River Game Lands area, and Mountain Valley, that there's some pretty heavy rains there. This is going to be where 26 comes through, and it's going to be above that area there. And then Hendersonville, we're looking at the Balfour area. It's got some rain and some heavier rain. I forgot to take this color coding and layer it down where I could read through this mess. Yeah, I have a way to do that, and let me see if I can make that happen here. There it is. Okay. Oh yeah. Much better. Okay. Now let's see if we got any rain out in the Transylvania County area here, and up in Asheville, you've got rain scattered there, and down into Transylvania, it's more in the Pisgah and Netanyahu National Forest. But we're seeing some in Rosman. Rosman's got rain. Brevard, you're in the clear, but we'll see. There's a batch behind here. We'll see how that goes. And the rest of it, you know, Pisgah Forest, Everett Road, New Hendersonville Highway, Tally Road, up Holmes Educational State Park, Crab Creek. That's all looking good. Flat Rock, a little bit of rain there. So some heavier rains are to the east of there. And we'll keep an eye on it. Also, tomorrow, about the same, 50, our 60-70% chance of rain. Let me get over here and see if we've got an updated forecast. And let me just see if that one came in. Okay, here we go. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m. tonight. Then patchy fog after 4 a.m. and a low around 66. Tomorrow, chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. and patchy fog before 10. High is going to be around 81, looking at an 80% chance of rain with amounts between a quarter and a half of inch possible as these rains come through. Of course, so you get under one of those that kind of sit there, that can drastically change, and I've seen that happen. Thursday night, we're looking at a low of 66. Rain is still 80%. Drops 70% on Friday and 30% Friday night, and then up to 60% Saturday and Saturday night and 60% Sunday. And good grief, that 60 is a popular number all the way into next week. But yeah, that forecast is far out. So we'll see. Also, the tropical system that's not quite made it yet. It's got 39 mile an hour is the threshold for a tropical storm as far as winds go. Well, we're looking at wind speeds of 45 mile an hour, but there's no center of circulation. It's forming, it's closing, and they're expecting it sometime between tonight and tomorrow. But irregardless, wind and a lot of rain is happening. And so within the time frame of now through the evening, we're looking at heavy rains and possibly potential life-threatening flash flooding and mudslides across the northern Leeward Islands, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and I hate this, the Dominican Republic. Now, next door to the Dominican Republic is Haiti. The Dominican Republic doesn't need that kind of rain, but it has the trees and the forests and things to soak it up. Now, some of these islands, depending on how this thing tracks, have mountain ranges in them. I've been to all three of the American Virgin Islands and spoken in churches and sung in churches there. And they took me up, I think it was on St. Thomas, where they took me up to a restaurant high on top of the mountain. It's like you've got the coastline around the entire island, and in the center, it goes up to the top of the mountain there. And one of the hard things to get used to, by the way, they drive on the left side of the road. And that is very weird when you're coming down a mountain. I can tell you that. That's for sure. But here's the thing. Even though it's not a tropical storm yet, but expected to be, tropical storm conditions are likely across portions of the Leeward Islands, the Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico all day today. And they're going to spread westward through the evening to portions of the Dominican Republic, Haiti. They don't need it. They just don't need it. And so I'm praying that this thing will stay at a high speed. I haven't checked the speed. It was running at 23 mile an hour, but I'll check that in a moment. But we're also talking about the Southern Bahama chain, the Turks and the Caicos Islands. These are all archipelagos that are in that area where the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean meet. Warnings are up. They have tropical storm warnings up for those areas because of the wind with the rain. And the wind, I said, is 45 mile an hour. That's into the tropical storm force winds. The interesting thing is I watched them take the cone, and it's narrow, and then it gets wider out. But it actually moved it west to the point where it looked like it would skirt the Gulf Coast side of Florida. But then the latest 5 o'clock has it again like Irma coming right dead center at the bottom tip of Florida, right up the middle. But that's far enough out that that can change. In the narrow band of the cone, we're looking at tomorrow it being over Haiti around this time tomorrow. So we're just going to have to see how that goes, but we're praying for all the folks in these islands. I preach to many folks in the islands. And by the way, I have some of the best treatment that I've ever been given is by people in the islands. That I've preached throughout some of the island chains, and I tell you what, they are so thrilled when someone will come over and preach. And well, I took the senior class of 1988 on this. We did senior mission trips, and we ministered in churches. Well, they sang for an hour. I mean, they just sang for a solid hour, and they sang that song. It was on a Monday that Jesus saved me. And if you were saved on Monday, you stand up. And they tell you, if you don't know, stand up on Sunday. And they go through the thing. It was on a Tuesday that Jesus saved me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory that Jesus saved me. And by the time you go through 7 days a week, that's a long time. I enjoy music, but you know, our young people, they that was an hour already. And then they knew I was going to preach for about 50 minutes. And so when I got done preaching, the pastor of the church got up and said, oh, that was good, brother, but kind of short. Do you have another one? And I could see the looks on the kids' faces like, no, 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 you don't. Tell them you don't. But I did. And so, yeah, wonderful people there. And I tell you what, those islands, they can get hit. And yes, it is still moving west northwest at 23 miles an hour. So I say that because we've been helping Haiti, and it's now knocking on their door in the next 12 to 24 hours, depending on speed of things. I'm hoping and praying that that will go. If it goes to the north side of the island, they'll still get a lot of rain, unfortunately, but it'll put the worst side of the storm on the right. If it goes over, then they're going to have the center circuit coming right around it. And if it goes west of them, they're going to get they'll be on that right side of the storm. So yeah, that is for sure something we're going to be watching and praying about. Well, interestingly enough, sorry to say. Well, before I do that, let me jump up here. I put this in my notes so I wouldn't forget. For you on that travel Interstate 26, this came out today. A new look is coming to Interstate 26 in Asheville, and drivers will officially be cruising the new section. They're saying this week, according to WLOS's story here. They're saying that the North Carolina Highway Department of Transportation announced Wednesday that they will shift traffic on westbound Interstate 26 to the newly constructed outside lanes prior to Brevard Road. That's exit 33, by the way. And they're going to do that tonight, weather permitting. The shift will allow the crews then to rehabilitate the current existing lanes. The rest areas along I-26 are closed due to the widening and new facilities coming. Okay, so the I-26 area there near Brevard Road coming up that area is going to have a shift starting tonight if the weather allows them to do that. So please be aware of that. Completion of the project will result in new bridges on Brevard Road over the interstate and four lanes in each direction on I-26 and will align with the current I-26 widening project from Henderson County to that project. So beware of that if you'll be traveling in the morning. If everything goes well, it'll be a different pattern. So there you go. Well, in the COVID-19 deal, the biotech company Moderna gave their first shot, and we talked about that yesterday. I watched the lady get it in the third and final phase for testing. They say Pfizer's close behind. And I've been hearing this a lot, and it's just, we'll see. But that there is hopes that by the end of the year, there'll be two or three other vaccines ready for use. Now, obviously, the FDA has to approve it. But from what I'm hearing, what they're doing is going to go ahead and say, let's make it up. We don't have time for them to say yes and then turn around and have it ready. So they're going to have it ready, and hopefully it'll be approved and then can be used. Now, I saw a report today, and I can't remember. I was trying to find it where they had said that the a few days out from what that some people's lungs were already clearing, that it had the actual drug. So we'll have to see how that goes. We'll be watching it with very, very earnestness. Okay, someone said, can we get an update about Pastor Barton? I gave that, and I'd be glad to give it again. The surgery was successful. According to the doctors, it went according to plan, what they were expecting. He went into recovery. Mrs. Barton got to talk with him on the phone about an hour or so after that. And as is always the case when you have major surgery and they open you up like that, he's in pain. And then because of the putting things in your throat to keep you breathing while they're doing what they're doing, has a hoarseness in his throat. So we're going to be praying for him and asking the Lord to touch him there. So, yes, if you just joined us, that is the update for Pastor Barton. And as we have them, we will give them out as we continue to pray. And we appreciate all the prayers as the family of God gathers together and we bear one another's burdens. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on the COVID-19, but today was the highest number of deaths in the state, according to what I heard on the news. We're still looking at the percent of positives. 2 days in a row has been 7%, and so the rolling average, it's at 8 to 9%, but that's good news. Unfortunately, across the board, hospitalizations is up to its highest number at 1,291 hospitalized. That was as of yesterday evening. So that is sad. Right now, the two dark colors, which is the hot spots of a region, is Henderson and Buncombe counties. Buncombe County, 1,538 cases. And we're looking at Henderson County, 1,319 cases. Neighboring Henderson County's Polk at 127 and Transylvania at 111. So that is where we're at right now. And the world aspect of it, we're growing at an alarming rate. In fact, I was trying to think where it was, where they had such a high number today, but my brain's not telling me. But we're at 4,398,898 in the United States of America of confirmed cases, with now over 150,000 deaths. So globally, this number's staggering to me. Globally, 662,577 with 16,845,602 confirmed cases. That number is over the 500,000 mark by ways. And boy, I tell you what, that I'd hate to see that reach that million mark. That just, I hope we can get something that would actually stop this thing. But another major thing in North Carolina has gone by the wayside due to COVID-19, and Agricultural Commissioner Steve Troxler made an announcement a few weeks ago about the Western North Carolina State Fair in September. Well, the 2020 North Carolina State Fair has been canceled. Now, according to the news release that I saw, this cancellation marks the first time since World War II that the fair will not take place. Troxler said that they'd hoped and prayed and thought and thought and thought, but at the end of the day, it's the only logical decision that we could make. The state fair was scheduled for October the 15th through the 25th at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds in Raleigh. Troxler did say that the junior livestock shows and horse shows, usually part of the fair, will happen. So he said, I think you can expect to see additional drive-through fair food events, which have been really popular this summer. So drive-through kind of thing. But It's a large hit in the economy of West North Carolina and our fair and Raleigh and that area for their fair. So, yeah, a lot of things going on, and we can just watch them day by day by day and keep praying and hoping for something that makes this a whole lot better. But I'll tell you, I've been reading a lot about history. And when I was pastoring in Florida, people showed a real interest in prophecy. So I sat down for a long time and I designed a graphic notebook that they could have as a kind of not a commentary so much as a reference. And it was in multiple sections. And part one was an introduction to prophecy. And part two, I broke out the major themes of the Bible, each book of the Bible. And then in part three, I did what's called a timeline of biblical history and events. Part four, the signs of the times. And part five, future events in prophecy. And in the timeline of the Bible, I walked through who the prophets wrote to. I actually took Genesis, and I took where it gave the lineage of Adam. And instead of saying so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, I took and I actually took that just like it was in the Bible and then placed lines on my graphic arts program and did a family tree where visually you could see it. Because when you see they have this child, then this child gets married, has this child, but then this child has all these children, then all these children. It gets, when you're reading that, you forget who goes to who. And so I did it that way. Well, when you're reading through scripture, we look at the world and say, okay, languages, cultures. We look at different countries. God really only recognizes three groups of people in the Bible. Now, he talks about seven mountains and 10 horns and these kind of things, and that deals with the kings and that deals with the empires, but it always breaks down into three groups of people. And I wanted to give them to you today because these are the three groups of people you should be paying attention to based on what Scripture says as we compare it to what's happening in our world. First is the Jews. The Jews were a called out group of people when God called Abraham out of where he was and took him out of Ur and took him to the promised land. And then when Jacob was wrestling with God and he said, I will not go except you bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Now the Jews are God's physical called out people on this earth. And they still are, even though they are not where they should be. Obviously, they're not where they should be. But they will be. Because there's a verse in Zechariah that talks about one day they're going to see his hands and say, where did you get those prints in your hands? And he's going to say, Jesus will say, in the house of my friends. And they're going to turn back to belief. Now, listen, I believe that as the Jews were set on the shelf, another thing was birthed called the church. And the church, it transitioned from Jews to the church. And the church is made up of saved Jews back in the Bible times and Gentiles. So the second group of people we need to look at is the Gentiles. And the reason, and by the way, if you're not a Jew, you fall into the Gentile. But if you're saved, you fall into the third group of people, the church. Gentiles. Luke 21:24 says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I think we're watching those times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, coming to the outer box of time. And in between, when the Jews got shelved and taken over, Jesus was talking, and he said to Simon, you know, and the thing there, who do men say that I am? And then he turned and said to the disciples, who do ye say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means son of. For flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. The Greek word there means a small stone. And upon this rock, a boulder. He is not talking about Peter. He's talking about what Peter said. Thou art the Christ. Yes, that is me. And you did not get that except by my Father which is in heaven. And upon that boulder, that rock, Peter, you're a pebble. You're going to be part of that church, but I'm the rock of that church. And that's why on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church was future. It was going to be birthed in the book of Acts. So through the lens of Scripture and the lens of looking at the world I live in, I watch with every bated breath the Jews. I get emails from missionaries that are near there, that are in there, that visit there. I get the publications and things that Israel, My Glory, and things like this. And I look at what's going on in the news, and I watch to see the Jews, because there are things that I have seen in my lifetime that absolutely was scriptural. It was like you were reading your Bible. And it's amazing, because the Bible talks about Jerusalem being the place they went. That was like the capital place to go. And now in my lifetime, I've seen it revert back to Jerusalem. I'm watching what they do. I'm also watching the Gentile world, because there is a war in Ezekiel 38 and 39 with nations that has not occurred yet in history. It's coming. And I would be, people have their ways of looking at when that war will be, but he breaks the covenant at a 3.5 mark. And that's kind of where I put it, but it doesn't matter. I won't be here for that one. But it's definitely a war that surrounds Israel. And so I'm looking at the Jews and the Gentiles, and seeing how they're trotting down the Jews and they're trampling on the church, especially the church of Jesus Christ. It's amazing that using the name God is not as offensive as using the name of Jesus. That creates some of the stir. But God said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I remember a situation in Florida that is just devastating because of someone wanting to try to hurt the church. And we were going to a meeting, and I got in my car, and I got at the, when you leave the forest to go into what is called Silver Springs, our church mailing address is Silver Springs, but it wasn't in Silver Springs. It was just the mailing address. We were in the Ocala National Forest. But you would go over this bridge, and it's a tall bridge. It's called the Ocklawaha Bridge. It goes over the Ocklawaha River. And I got to the top of that bridge, and that sun was coming through. And God gave me this verse, because I was a nervous wreck. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we left that day without the issue. It died there on the spot. And man, I was happy about that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Praise the Lord. He is good. But people say that, this is nerve-wracking. To me, it's fascinating. And the reason why I think it's fascinating is because I'm watching Scripture be fulfilled. Now, God has a story in the Bible from beginning to end. And He gives it to us in Genesis with the fact that Adam fell and that he needed a Savior. He stepped down to where his wife was, and God had to take the blood of the animals and clothe them. We get to chapter 5, and we skip over that genealogy. Adam begat so-and-so about, and on, he lived so many years. Again, I charted that. When I charted that, I liked to have a spell. Adam, man in need. Seth, the substitute. Remember, Cain killed Abel. They thought that one of them was it. Nope. And Seth means substitute. We need a substitute because we're in need. Then there was Enosh. There, someone has to die. And Kenan and Mahalalel. And there we see in Kenan and Enosh, we see purchase price and someone has to die. And Mahalalel, God be praised. And I believe that's referring to the resurrection because there was a lot of worship going on. Then we have Jared. It means the descending. And I see the church descending. And then Enoch doesn't die. He's the only one in the lineage that doesn't die. He's taken. He is the one that ends the church. Methuselah means when he dies, judgment comes. And of course, when he died, we had the flood judgment. But in the lens of the whole scripture, we're seeing the man in need, the substitute, Jesus Christ, who dies for our sin and purchases the price, raises from the dead, tells Peter, I'll build my church, and then I'll take it home in Enoch, and then tribulation shall come. But here's what's interesting. Here's what caught my eye. I looked, and Jared represents the church, and his total years was 962. He lived 962 years. So out of this lineage, he's the second longest living. Methuselah is 969, and he represents the tribulation. From the end of the church age to 969, subtract 962, 7 years. Don't think that's a coincidence. Don't believe that's a coincidence at all. Lamech has a couple meanings, and it's a name that there's a bad Lamech and a good Lamech, and it's a hard name to trace, but one of the things has to do with praise and worship, and I believe it's the our going home and being at the throne, and then Noah, the millennial peace, the reign of peace. So the Bible makes things very, very clear, and we're going to kind of take a look at how God spells that out. And he came the first time right on time, and he's going to come the second time right on time. So look at everything through a different lens, and it won't get you down. It'll get you ready to go up. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to get ready to go up. Amen and amen. Well, we've enjoyed being with you today. We're going to have a word of prayer. Continue to pray for Pastor Barton and others that are going to have upcoming surgeries. Also pray for those who have been bereaved. Pray for those who are dealing with this COVID-19. Pray for those who are hurting and longing for some peace and resolution to life. Others who are maybe struggling with decisions. There's so many things. But let's lift up one another. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And we appreciate it so very, very much. Minister in the hearts and lives of people. Continue to touch your people. Continue to touch Pastor Barton with great, speedy recovery and control pain. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage the family and him in the days ahead and the recovery time ahead. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before I sign off, tomorrow's Thursday. But this week, the warehouse is closed. They do when they have things that are free. The free bay, they have it set outside. But as far as the warehouse goes, tomorrow and Saturday, it is closed. Been good to be with you. I'm Pastor Walton in for Pastor Barton, praying that you have an absolutely wonderful evening.